Hi, well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for coming this morning. This is our interim results presentation for the 28-week period to the 12th of October 2013. The group has, after 2 years of losses, delivered a first half-year profit of 2 million pounds. Losses in the U.K. are shrinking, and international has delivered another year of double-digit profit growth. This is an environment of significant change for Mothercare, and we're making progress despite challenging trading conditions in some of our markets. I'm pleased to take this opportunity this morning to announce the appointment of Nick Wharton as Non-Exec Director to our board. Many of you will already know Nick, him as the Chief Executive of Dunelm, and before that, the Chief Financial Officer at Halfords. Nick brings with him extensive retail experience, and I look forward to working with him on the board. So the agenda this morning will follow the usual format. Matt Smith, our Chief Financial Officer, will first update you on the results. I'll then follow up with an update on the business, both the U.K. and international, before finishing with questions which both Matt and I will be happy to answer. So Matt, over to you. Thank you.
Okay, good morning. Thank you, Simon. Look, we've made further progress in the transformation and growth plan over the last 6 months. Let's move on to the financial results, which will highlight the progress we've made. For the group as a whole, worldwide network sales were £637 million, an increase of 4.4% on the comparable period last year. There was a 13% increase in our international sales to £399 million, which offsets the expected 7.5% decline in UK sales to £238 million. I'm pleased to report the group recorded an underlying profit before tax for the half year of £2 million, up from a loss of £1.8 million last year. Net debt for the half was £48 million compared with £30 million last year, and I'll provide more detail on this later in the presentation. So turning first to the income statement. Total group revenue decreased by 2%, driven principally by the reduction in UK sales, mainly as a result of the planned store closures. Underlying profit from operations was £6.1 million, with a share-based payments charge of £0.4 million and net financing costs of £3.7 million. The net finance costs were higher than last year as a result of the higher average net debt for the half year. As I indicated at the full year in May, we've adopted IAS 19, which leads to a restatement of last year's performance from underlying loss of £0.6 million to a loss of £1.8 million. I've included some schedules in the appendix which fully explains this treatment. The underlying profit before tax of £2 million is the first profit at the interim stage since 2010-11 and demonstrates the progress we are making. The underlying and non-underlying items are as anticipated, and I'll now focus on these in more detail. So as previously mentioned, there was an exceptional charge of £5.1 million. This relates to the central organisation review that was completed in July of this year. This resulted in 250 roles being removed from the group and supports our strategy of delivering a lean retail business. The non-cash foreign currency adjustment relates to the reversal of the £6.9 million gain reported at full year. It is in connection with the marking to market of foreign exchange currency contracts. This item is non-cash in nature and does not impact the ongoing underlying performance of the group. Worldwide network sales are a good reflection of our global reach. This metric measures the retail sales achieved both in the UK and across the 59 international markets we operate in. On a comparable basis, worldwide network sales were up 4.4% at £637 million. Total international sales were up 11.9% in constant currency. Favourable currency moves at the start of the half meant reported international sales were up 13%. With the exception of our Eurozone markets, all of our regions continue to deliver double-digit sales growth and positive like-for-like sales. Overall, international like-for-like sales growth was 4.8%. Total UK sales were down 7.5%, reflecting the 1.4% decline in like-for-like sales and the closure of 18 loss-making stores. So let me turn to our underlying profit performance. I'm pleased to report we reduced UK losses to £14.9 million from £16.9 million last year and grew international profits by 13.5% to £25.2 million, so improving group underlying profit before tax to 2 million from a loss of 1.8 million last year. International profits were driven by royalty growth from higher sales and from reduced joint venture losses. I'll now focus on the UK performance in more detail. So this chart sets out the UK profitability and shows that compared to last year, we reduced losses by £2 million. As we indicated at the full year results, we are managing the business to cash margin. We continue to balance between sales volumes and the percentage margin to maximise our achieved cash margin and therefore ultimately the group's overall profitability. The combination of the negative 1.4% like-for-like sales and lower margin rate led to our UK gross margin being down 5.2 million as we traded the business. I'll come back to this in more detail on the next page. We continue to close loss-making stores, which is clearly beneficial, with a further 3.2 million contribution to the profit improvement. In addition, we took out costs of the underlying UK business, with store costs reduced by 1 million and non-store costs reduced by 3 million. Our strategy of restoring the UK to profitability is making good progress, with losses reduced to 14.9 million. Like-for-like sales in the UK are on an improving trend, from 6.8% down 2 years ago, to 3.4% down last year, to 1.4% down this half. We knew it would never be a straight line, but the sales are benefiting from the changes being made in the business, and we expect this to continue. The like-for-like and direct in-home performance for the Mothercare brand alone is stronger than the group average and demonstrates the underlying strength in this business. Direct in-home has been particularly strong, and Simon will discuss this later in the presentation. As we previously discussed, we have managed the business to optimise cash margins. In the first half of the year, UK gross margin was down approximately 200 basis points compared with last year. This is a combination of an investment of around 50 basis points to clear home and travel nursery furniture prior to the rollout of the new nursery room sets in our top 90 stores. We invested around 75 basis points at the start of the autumn-winter 13 clothing range as we launched with a buy one, get one half price promotion, which met with a disappointing response when the weather was unseasonably warm in early September. We've also incurred around 75 basis points of promotional and price investment, in particular in the home and travel market, as we align our prices and drive promotions in this competitive area. Turning now to the cash flow for the group. The net debt was £48 million at the half year, an increase of £16 million from year end. There was an operating cash inflow of £10.8 million, driven by our cash generative international business. The overall level of working capital was a £5.8 million outflow in the first half. This is driven by around 10% increase in the trade receivables balance as a result of the higher international sales. The level of stock is around £2 million lower than last year. During the 6 months, we invested £7.4 million, a net £5 million in capital expenditure, and about £2 million in our China and India joint ventures. There's also an outflow of £10.8 million relating to the restructuring of the UK business driven by the store closure programme. As I provided at the full year results, I've set out in the appendix a schedule showing the future cash utilisation of the exceptional charges. I'm also pleased to announce we've recently extended our bank facilities. With our current banking syndicates of HSBC and Barclays, we thank them for their continued support. The new facility provides appropriate financing for the group through to May 2017. So, moving to the outlook for the year as a whole. Our international markets continue to offer good growth opportunities, and we will continue to drive this part of the business forward. We'd expect the trend seen over the first half to continue, with double-digit space growth translating into retail sales growth of around 13%. In the UK, we'd expect like-for-like sales for the year to be negative, with our multi-channel direct performance continuing to have a positive impact. We'll continue with our strategy to manage the business to optimise cash margins in the second half, whilst closing loss-making stores and taking out non-store costs. And I've reiterated my guidance in this area. Closing net debt at the year end is expected to be around £40 million. So let me now hand back to Simon to update on the UK and international business.
So So thank you, Matt, for that full review of the financial position at the half year. And as Matt highlighted, we've made progress. So let's get into the detail of what we've done over the last 6 months. To recap, there are four main pillars of the transformation and growth plan, which touch both international and UK business. And whilst I'm going to talk about the UK and international separately, actually these pillars touch all of them and overlap in many areas. So let me first give you a flavour of what we've achieved before moving into a full update on the business. Our structures now reflect the global business that we are, with roughly 60% of space and sales attributable to international. We need to reflect these changes, and we have done. The product, the merchandising, the range planning teams now think globally, and the first ranges of this new structure are beginning to come into stores. In the UK, we've made further progress, closing loss-making stores and taking out costs. However, to return the UK to profitability, we not only need to look at our costs, but on how we serve our customers. So in addition to improving product and improving service, we're investing in improving customers' experience. We recognise that our customers shop with us in many, many different ways, in-store, online, on mobile, or multi-channel. We're agnostic as to how our customers access our product, but whichever way they choose, we've got to ensure that we meet their expectations, and I'll cover these points later. It's exciting that our international business continues to collectively deliver double-digit growth. We work closely with all of our partners, and only last month we all got together in Singapore, and it's really hard not to be fired up by the level of collaboration, exchange of ideas that takes place between our franchise partners, and also the potential that we have for growth. So let's look first at the UK. The UK consumer has been under considerable pressure with rising costs and falling real incomes, and we're not planning that to change much in the near future. Nevertheless, our priority remains to return the UK to profitability. And my vision for Mothercare is to take it to the next level, strengthening the business and ensuring it's capable of meeting the needs of an increasingly sophisticated and demanding customer base. For over 50 years in the UK, Mothercare led the way with product innovation and service to mums and mums-to-be. We cannot ignore this heritage, and it needs to be at the heart of how we operate. But I like to present this internally as Mothercare 2.0, a new, upgraded version of the past with improved structure, process, technology that sets us up to compete over the next 50 years. Quite simply, we're becoming a dynamic omnichannel retailer. Product and price information is only a click of a button away, and our customers are using this information all of the time to make informed choices while on the move. This is work I've been focusing on over the last 12 months, and we're making changes to ensure we remain relevant to our customers now and in the future. So our challenge has been, how do we make these changes to give our customers real flexibility? How do we best serve them in this new environment? And how do we embrace being an omnichannel retailer? In the next 10 minutes or so, I want to talk about these changes for the UK. But let's start with our UK stores, a very important asset to us. Over the last 6 months, we've closed a further 18 loss-making stores, 5 of which were Mothercare and 13 Early Learning Centre stores. This means we now have 237 stores, 191 in the Mothercare format with 1.7 million square feet of space, and 46 in the Early Learning Centre format with only 70,000 square feet. We continue to target approximately 200 stores by March 2015, and we're making good headway here. Let's not forget, we are the largest national chain of mother and baby specialists, and it's a real competitive advantage. Not only being able to serve our customers face to face, but to have a chain of omnichannel locations to service their delivery needs. However, our plan is not just about store closures. We're investing, but we're being selective at this stage and doing so where we get the appropriate returns. During the first half of this year, we upgraded our stores in Romford and Oxford Street, and the pictures above give you a flavour of what we've achieved. These stores are lighter, they're brighter, they're easier for mums to move around with pushchairs. Product displays are improved and more appealing to our customers. We've also invested more in baby changing facilities and loos. We've upgraded our tills, and now it's even easier to order product in one of our stores at a till, at a standalone terminal, or even in many stores now, iPads. We've also converted our store in Rotherham to an outlet format, which now sells end-of-season product, allowing better stock management and cleaner displays at our core stores. And we plan to open another one of these very soon. Importantly, all our stores, both Mothercare and Early Learning Centre, now have free next-day click-and-collect available, and this is in time for peak Christmas trading. We're pleased, really pleased, with the results coming from this work and investment. One of the things I'm most proud about is that we've seen customer satisfaction rates continue to improve. From a starting point of low to mid-60s, we're now consistently scoring high 70s. Importantly, through close management, the laggard stores have now stepped up, which has benefited the overall average. This is a real and tangible difference to our in-store experience. And as we've said before, this is really important because highly satisfied customers, so top box customers, spend 20% more and are twice as likely to return. Online is an increasingly important part of our business in the UK, accounting for 28% or £67 million of sales this half year. As we highlighted in October, direct in-home across the total UK is growing double-digit, and it's encouraging to see that direct in-store has also returned to growth as planned. Looking at the Mothercare brand alone, growth would be over 20% in this first half year. And this has no doubt been helped by the investment and hard work put in over the recent months, resulting in improvements to the delivery service and the online experience. Next day click and collect was introduced to all Mothercare stores in May this year and was extended to all Early Learning Centre stores in October. This service is free to customers. Since its introduction, we've experienced a rapid improvement, as shown here in this graph, in the take-up rate. Our customers value this service, and the opportunity is clearly there. In addition, we would expect a similar improvement in Early Learning Centre. Multi-channel is not only about service, but it's also about sales. Our online customers spend twice as much as our store customers do per transaction. And our multi-channel customers spend twice as much again. Or to put it another way, our multi-channel customers spend four times as much per transaction as our store-only customers do. This is a huge difference, and the more we can make multi-channel, the better it will be for us. Mobile is an increasingly important channel for our customers. Mums today use their mobile phones a lot. 74% agree that they would be completely lost without their smartphone. They use their phone to communicate family news, to check up on parenting issues, to read product reviews, and crucially, check prices before making the all-important decision to actually make a purchase. So our fantastic award-winning iPhone app was recently extended to the Android phone and will soon be iPad ready as well. We hear what our customers are saying and we're working hard to meet their needs. Last month, we were recognised by Retail Systems as the mobile retailer of the year. We've come a long way in a year. This is a great result, not only for our teams, but importantly for our customers. To meet our customers' needs, we now really understand them. We've conducted extensive research and now better understand our relative strengths and weaknesses. We've completed a detailed customer segmentation exercise, and you can actually see from some of the results here shown relative market size between the different segments that we look at. Actually, Our strengths are where we expected them to be, with new mums who want expert advice. Around 80% of new mums come to Mothercare, and their share of spend with us is nearly one in every £4 that they spend. However, we're losing out as babies get older. Our share of spend of the toddler and preschool segment is much lower. This is where we see opportunity, as it is over twice as large as the first time mums where we're strongest. This, along with gifting, represents a significant opportunity for us and one we know we can address. So how do we capture this opportunity? Well, our new CRM system should help us address this issue. We have a plan to capture customer information more accurately and across all channels and every time we interact with our customers. This will allow us to understand their shopping habits, ensure that it is us that helps them through their journey of parenthood by sending them relevant and well-targeted offers. We should be in a better position to anticipate their needs based on the age of their babies and children, and now at last we've developed a system that can do something about it. The process starts at the till where most of our transaction takes place. We're now the largest retail network in the UK that offers electronic receipts to all of our customers. And this allows us to capture customer information with contact details and other data like the age of children or their due date. This is all valuable information to serve our customers better and to ensure we address their needs at every stage. But all of this only works if we have the right product. We've continued with good work investing in product across all categories. And here also, our customer segmentation is really important. Blooming Marvelous, our maternity range, offers both better value and reflects the current fashion trends. Our customers recognise this, and as a result, we're the market leader with 15% of the maternity wear and nearly a third of the maternity essentials market. We've introduced room sets into our 90 largest stores. Think like walking into a bedroom and actually experiencing what that whole bedroom looks and feels like, with accessories, with pictures, with windows, with lights. They are better displays both of our furniture and bedding ranges, and the sales uplifts since their introduction have been very encouraging. Both of these appeal to the new mums-to-be segment. The Mothercare Expedia is now our number one selling pushchair and is now sold in 5 colourways and will soon be in 2 chassis formats. In toys, we're continuing to innovate with a third of product new this season in time for Christmas. Our exclusive toy box range is a good example of the work being done. Both of these products are important as a baby develops and before they become toddlers. We call this on the move. The value essentials range has been a huge success with customers and now accounts for approximately 20% of all clothing. We know toddler and school children mums really value good entry price points, as well as fashion and style. So this is where we've been focused. So let's now turn to international. This is a picture of our new Waihai Road store that's recently opened in Shanghai. Here and across our markets, the Mothercare buzz really continues. I'm pleased that international continues to deliver double-digit growth, both in terms of sales and profits, with encouragingly all 4 regions contributing positive like-for-like sales and total sales growth. Space was up 11.9% and like-for-likes were up 4.8%, which along with a currency benefit of 1.4% resulted in total international sales growth of 13% to £399 million for the first half of the year. Importantly, profits grew at a similar rate and came in at £25.2 million for the first half of the year. Our franchise partners now have 1,156 stores in 59 countries with 2.5 million square feet of space. Our international business is geographically diversified with growth opportunities still to be had in each of our 4 regions. Europe, our largest region, continues to grow, with space up 5.5% year on year. The Middle East and Africa, our oldest region, now has 317 stores in 13 countries. Despite the exceptionally hot summer, this region has delivered double-digit sales growth for the half year. Asia continues to offer good growth opportunities, and our franchise partners in this region now have 318 stores. Space is up 27.2% in this region year on year, and India and China continue to offer good growth opportunities. China, in particular, is expected to almost double its store count this year. Finally, our newest region, Latin America, saw space growth of nearly 50%, albeit from a lower base. We've made further progress with multi-channel in international as well. We now have fully transactional sites in 6 markets and expected to have extended this to 10 markets by the end of the year. Our target remains to have our major markets online by March 2016 and to start to move to multi-channel with click and collect during financial year 2015. As we've said before, it's all about having the right infrastructure in place. And we, along with our partners, want to ensure this is all in place, working well before launching with customers. So let's look at the group scorecard over the last 6 months. Amid challenging trading conditions, we've made further progress. Well, we're doing well in lean retail, and so I put a green marker against this. Over the first half of this year, we've closed a further 18 loss-making stores, or 74 stores since we first spoke of our plan. We've also taken cost out with store and non-store cost savings of £4 million. Our goal to return the UK to profitability remains and is achievable. I've marked it as red as we've invested more than we expected in margin, which was the right thing to do. Whilst we've done well with our first goal, we must remember that it's not all about store closures and reducing the cost base. We've also invested selectively in store refurbishments, introduced furnished room sets and our largest 90 stores, and continue to invest in innovation and new product across all ranges. International is amber due to some regions. However, we continue to deliver double-digit space, retail sales and profit growth. As both Matt and I have highlighted, the outlook for consumer spending has been challenging in some of our markets. Even so, delivered growth highlights the resilience and geographic diversity of this business. And finally, multi-channel, this is green. In the UK, we've introduced next day click and collect to all our stores, launching a new CRM system, introduced e-receipts and improved delivery for those customers who choose to have product delivered to their home. In international, we now have 6 transactional e-commerce sites, and we're working with our franchise partners to move to a multi-channel format in our major markets. In summary, we're reducing losses in the UK and driving growth in international. Our investment is going into stores, service, product innovation, and now the systems to enable us to target our customers to better satisfy their needs and to enable us to compete even more effectively in the future. These are challenging times, and we know we have a lot more to do, but I'm confident we have the team to do it. All of the changes we're making, both in the UK and international, will redefine Mothercare for the future. Mothercare 2.0, as I mentioned before. We know customer loyalty comes with satisfaction, and that satisfaction comes directly from the service they get and how engaged our store colleagues and our teams are across the business. At Mothercare, we all need to care for our customers, care for each other, and care for the business. This is the way we can be fit for the next 50 years. Quite simply, we want to become the world's most caring retailer. That brings me to the end of the formal presentation. I look forward to updating you on progress over the months to come. And let me invite Matt back up to the stage, and then we'll open the floor to questions. And if during the question session, you can also give name and where you're from to start off with, that would be great. Thank you. Nathan, would you like to, if we've got the microphones, can we pass those around to you? Yep. Thank you.
Just answer for the question. Morning, Ethna O'Leary from Oriel. Just wondering, in relation to the gross margin, the 75 basis points investment that you made into driving cash margin, was that mostly in the home and travel category? And in terms of how we look forward, are you seeing most of that pricing pressure coming from traditional players, online players? Where is it coming from?
So let me start with that. So yes, it is. So the 75 basis points was predominantly in the home and travel markets. And again, what we know there is that we have the branded mix has increased, and price competition therefore is therefore quite keen. So we've had to adapt our stance in that area. So you're right, it's mostly home and travel. If I look forward, you know, we'd expect to see some continuation of that pressure. I think that won't go away straight away. We're moving our business, as we've discussed before, into other areas and bringing in more own brand as well. So look, if I look forward for the whole year, I'd expect gross margins to have a bit of that pressure continue, but mostly in the first half.
Hi, Ben Hunt as well, also from Oriel. I think you alluded to in the Q2 IMS that your branded suppliers are obviously beginning to recognise some of the in-store improvements you've made and the fact that you are a market leader. And related to what Efna was saying, obviously that pricing pressure is ongoing. What's the end game here, and can you sort of maybe tell us how that relationship could start to change?
Yeah, what we're beginning to find is that actually a lot of our branded suppliers now are coming to us with exclusives. The Bugaboo Buffalo, for example, is something that we had exclusive. We've had Neon from Bugaboo as well. With Silver Cross, we have some exclusives that come in. And so what we're able to do is then get out of the price comparison game and the online pricing, because we're the only place that offers that. And that's something that's really, you know, quite important for some of our suppliers, and particularly when you get to top-end range and price points in any one particular category. So that's the first thing that we're beginning to see, and we're beginning to have much more open dialogue. And I would say that the dialogue that we traditionally have with our suppliers hasn't been as strong as we think it should be. So we spent a lot of time over the last 6 to 9 months in improving that and talking about the benefit of what goes on. And the way that the suppliers are seeing the benefit of that is that our store colleagues get really energized, get really motivated behind what we're doing. And we had, I don't know whether you're sure, when we opened the Oxford Street refit for the first time, there was an Andy Warhol Bugaboo, right? And we globally were the first place to actually showcase and have that product. And so it's not only UK, but it's now globally, and then we're hoping that will obviously benefit the franchise partners as well.
Thanks.
Thank you, good morning. It's Alexander Mees from JP Morgan Cazenove. Just firstly, the online channels, I wonder if you can comment on the relative penetration of the three categories, clothing, home and travel, and toys in online channels, and whether that affects the higher relative basket size from online transactions.
Yeah, I think the first thing is this very home and travel biased, right? So that would influence it to a certain degree. So a lot of people will look online and they will do some price comparison around, and they'll decide what they want from a branded point of view, and then they may go online and buy it from us. And that would drive transaction values up, you know, which is, again, we want more of those customers, please, you know, is the key message that we're trying to do. The fastest growing category that we have online is actually our clothing. We put a lot of effort into ensuring that this isn't a white sleep suit on a white background photograph, but this is a lifestyle photograph that, you know, really brings some of the emotional values through. We now have certain sites in maternity and in baby and accessories where we can actually, you go in and you can actually begin to see some of the benefits of it. And we're beginning to accessorize outfits and actually pull outfits together a lot more than we've had done before. So I think we have a huge opportunity in clothing to really drive clothing, and that obviously overall benefits a margin mix as well, given that clothing is a more profitable sector than home and travel. You know, toys, online, where is it? It's all about Christmas, right? And so we'll be able to update a bit more on that on January, but that's where a lot of the focused activity is. But the good thing about toys is what ELC used to do in the past is we used to have a lot more choice than we would actually have in stores. And actually what we're doing is we're beginning to extend ranges, work with other partners to get product on that actually begin to give us a wider breadth of toys that we can work at, like outdoor toys, activity, summer and activity toys, that there's no way you can build slides and swings, etc., in stores. So that's, I think, really is another opportunity for us as well.
Which very conveniently leads me into my second question. Just with regard to early learning centres, I think you said that you expect to have 30 remaining stores by the end of 2015. I wonder why you think it's necessary to have any at all, and whether this couldn't just be an online and an insert format instead.
Yeah, well, clearly the insert format is working really well for us, and we're getting good growth from the insert format. The challenge is the Early Learning Centre store portfolio was a portfolio that was probably 20 years old that really hadn't been through any changes or renovation, as clearly changed, as we all know, as the changes were happening in the high street, right? And that was very much changes. And so we look at those purely on a profit contribution point of view. And if there is a store that can deliver profit contribution that is working well, then, you know, it has a role and it has to earn its right to stay within the in the portfolio. And that's very much the approach that we take with those stores. Should that dynamic ever change, then obviously that's something that we clearly would reconsider.
Thank you.
Mike Dennis from Cantor Fitzgerald. I've got three questions. One is, in the first half, ELC normally makes a loss, so I was wondering what that was in the first half. And second question, in terms of growth on the high street, could you give us an idea of what the market's actually doing on the high street in terms of clothing, equipment and toys? And lastly, in terms of your 90 largest stores that you've refurbed, the like-for-like in terms of the growth rate?
Well, I think you're delving into really quite obviously commercially sensitive answers as well that we'll give. In terms of ELC, yeah, look,
On ELC and Mothercare, we don't break out the business and report segmentally down those brand lines. So we report UK and international, as you've seen today. We don't talk about ELC and Mothercare. It's not how we manage the business. We're an integrated business. That's how we manage it.
So now I'll pick up the second question on the high street. You know, we continue to see, if you look across our portfolio of stores, there's some stores that are showing good positive growth on the high street and there's some that are out of town. And it's all about location and footfall and what's happening in those individual high streets that we see. And we conducted, you know, really extensive analysis to try and understand where the best place for us to have. I mean, the benefit of us having a 200 store national chain that's clicking, you know, the ability to use it for delivery as well as the ability to have showroom and product sales is clearly there. And by when we get to about 200 stores, we're expecting that to be a good mix, you know, probably equal between high street and between out of town. So then that hasn't really changed over the last few years.
But where do you think the relationship is with, you know, the value bit in the middle, which you're after with your value range, which is sort of sitting in supermarkets and the sort of branded Next and M&S? I mean, they're growing, so where are you within the context?
Yeah, well, actually, if you look at clothing specifically, we're growing share. You know, we're getting back some of that share that we've historically lost over a long period of time. You know, where we're getting it from, it's hard to isolate, you know, sort of gains and loss specifically, but, you know, it's broadly across the piece. And why are we getting that? We're getting that because we're offering mums a better value proposition than we did before, and they're really buying into the value range, which is about 20% of clothing, as I talked about. And actually, our design and style and fashionability is getting better. The new range that we have through in autumn winter that's in store now, I think, is a significant step up on autumn winter last year. And I will expect, as Philippe Desrudes, our director of product and sourcing, you know, sprinkles his magic fashion dust over those ranges, they'll get even better in the future. And that's only going to not only benefit the UK, but benefit international. And what we will probably find over time is that the mix in the high street, and this is something that we historically, over the last few years, haven't done as well as probably some other retailers have, is the opportunity to change the mix between clothing, home and travel in a high street environment to create more space to enable fashion storylines to work better and stronger will probably happen in the high street, and that we'll have more destinations and more home and travel focus on the outside. But I think that's going to be at the margin.
And the last one about the 90 stores?
Yeah, we don't give specific, but, you know, let me tell you, we are very pleased with the results that are coming from that, both in terms of nursery and bedding.
Morning, Sanjay Vidyarthi at Liberum. I just wanted to understand the profile of international growth a little bit better. You've given us a 15% space growth number. Is that roughly 150 stores or more?
That's 15% space growth for the year. Yeah. As I mentioned, that's the kind of the guidance we're anticipating. That'll be slightly more than 150 stores. But again, what we look at is the space size rather than the store count is the key thing.
Okay. My second question was, I think there was some kind of movement towards larger average store sizes, particularly more mature market. So can you give some kind of idea of how the average store size is evolving?
Yeah, I haven't got the detailed splits, but I mean, for a good example, so in our Q8 business, actually, in a mature market in the Middle East, actually, we're very much the market leader. What we've seen there is a closure of a couple of the smaller stores and then a much larger store opening. So one of their flagship stores in Q8 City Mall is about 15,000 square feet, just slightly under, which is more than twice the size of the previous store that was there. So that's the kind of the shape we're seeing coming through.
And presumably you're not seeing any of the pressure in terms of home and travel that you've seen in the UK. That's not yet an issue in overseas markets where you're bringing those ranges in.
Yeah, I'll pick that one up, Sanjay, which is that if I look at home and travel in international, I see it much more as an opportunity than a risk, because actually international is about 70% clothing. Right? And by the time you put toys in home and travel, it's sort of underrepresentative relative to the UK. And I think that in the past has a lot of been about the ranges that we've had and the innovation that's been coming through. And clearly, as we've stepped that up over the last year or 18 months, we're beginning to get positive feedback from franchise partners about the types of ranges that we have in home and travel. And I think then, as we begin to put that through, then some of those larger store formats that are being opened in international will now have more SKUs and more options that they can put in those for both home and travel and clothing. So I think it sort of almost becomes self-fulfilling.
Okay. And the 13% sales growth figure you've given, is that constant currency and consistent with the 15% constant currency figure that you gave at the prelims?
So the 13% is the moving currency for the year, for the half year. There's a 1.4% benefit. But now looking forward for the full year, we'd expect about 13% on a constant currency basis.
Okay, but so it is a reduction from the 15% constant currency figure you gave at the prelims?
Yes, as a result of the first half performance being slightly weaker than we said at the start of the year, given the performance in the first half in the Middle East in particular.
And then just the final question on international is wanting to understand the maturity profile of the new stores you're opening, presumably in some of the newer territories like Latin America. It's going to be different, and actually, I mean, you've opened more stores in Europe than anywhere else. Is that Russia or?
Yeah, primarily Russia.
Yeah. So, I mean, how should we think about that, both in terms of year one kind of impact of how stores perform and contribute to that overall sales growth, and then also how the like-for-like maturity profile evolves in different territories?
Yeah. Well, clearly, you know, it does take some time to do that, and you know, it probably takes at least a. 2 to 3 years or so before we feel, really comfortable. But some of the stores that we're opening in some of the markets now are really sort of almost delivering profit from day one, certainly some of the ones in China where we're introducing a brand for the first time. Yeah. So I say with 59 countries, it's difficult to say that, but I think your general point is correct, which is it takes time for a store to build and therefore we begin to see it. But if you look at something like the Asian like-for-like growth that we're seeing, that's still very positive and very strong and continues to grow. And across the whole piece now, it's, 4.8% in the first half of the year. And that will, of course, be balanced. Europe will be a little bit lower because of some of the Eurozone questions. But certainly now in Asia, certainly some of the other markets, we're beginning to see very strong like-for-like performance come through.
All right, sorry, just one final question on wholesale.
This is your last final question,
yes,
okay, and then we'll move to somebody else, right.
It's down both in the UK and international. Just wondering, is there any particular reason for that?
Yeah, look, I mean, they're quite small numbers, actually, if you look in the detail there. So it's less than 500,000 change out of a 400 million in international and about 1 million change out of a 250 in the UK. So they're pretty small numbers at this point. So we're not concerned with that. Actually, we think there's opportunity in the long term here. Actually,
I was just wondering if there's any change in terms of the relationship with Boots, for example.
No, there's not.
It's just trading.
Yeah.
Volatility that happens. Thank you, Sanjay.
Thanks, Matthew McEachran from N Plus One Singer. Just coming back to what you were talking about on international, one of my questions here was just in relation to China. I mean, is the performance and size of that business now, has it reached a level where doubling the estate, they can actually handle that in terms of the profit profile? There's obviously going to be a lot of pre-opening, perhaps some initial trading losses in some of the territories, but is the business now of a size and scale that it can absorb that without throwing off a trigger point in your JV share?
Yeah, I think we're continuing to invest along with the JV partners in opening new stores. So there are some contribution. I think it was 2 million between China and India in the first half there that we put in. So we're continuing to invest that. But clearly, as they get more and more stores and as they begin to drive their own internal profitability, the requirement for that will reduce. And we're seeing good partnership. And this is a classic example. And I've touched on this, I think, in previous presentations, where it takes you a while to get critical mass, takes you a while to build the team, to get all the infrastructure, the supply chain right, And then when you've got that right, you're confident in it. And in China, it, you know, it was between 30 and 40 stores. We now push our foot to the floor together as a business and really accelerate that growth. And I think we begin to see that in a lot of other markets, which is why, you know, sort of we're not expecting the law of big numbers to come in terms of our consistency of opportunity that we see.
Okay, thanks. You talked a bit about the new CRM platform going in, and obviously analytics sort of quite a key part of the industry now. Could you give us some background around the team size that you've put in? Is it sort of being run on a small team? And if not, you know, where's the background from in that team? Is it being brought in from external companies?
Yeah, it has been brought in from external, and I managed to borrow some of them from Love Film. Apologies to Amazon for that, which was great, who I've worked with. They work with partners. We had a very competitive bid process, and they work with partners that I'd worked at previously when we built our whole CRM system in Love Film. And it's a sort of neo-lane platform with a marketing overlay which sets all the trigger emails campaign that is road-tested, that's proven. We have an internal team now probably of about 10 people in total that will be doing that. But we also outsource some of the analytical support. And what we've been able to do, to get into some of the specifics, is we've been able to build, you know, about, you know, a new email trigger for every week of pregnancy that a new mum-to-be will go through. We also have 10 buying guides around hospital bags, around feeding, around pushchairs, etc., that are really rich guides. And on the back of that, we can provide promotions, incentives, vouchers that can really work. So it's a way of bringing somebody into the family. And we've got, you know, quite exciting plans that we'll update you on at the prelims on some more of the activity that we've been doing in this area. But I think it remains just a huge opportunity for us.
Okay, thanks for that. And just during the presentation, you were talking about, you know, it wasn't just about closing stores in the UK. You were looking to make selective reinvestment in the continuing core estate. I mean, it was quite selective in the first half. Just give us a little bit of a flavour as to what activity you'll be pursuing over the course of the next 6 or 12 months.
Well, Matt Stringer, our UK commercial director, and the team have been working very closely in terms of analysing what's working and where we're getting our bang from the buck in any store investment that we're putting in place. And on the back of that, we're then saying, okay, what will it take to take this forward in an accelerated rate? You know, two at half year, one a quarter is not a, you know, sort of, you know, aggressive plan by any stretch of the imagination. But we'll come forward with more plans on what we're trying to do in the future. But I would, you know, be very clear to say that we're expecting to accelerate that rate of improvement. And interestingly, room sets, within a two-month period, we were able to roll out, you know, very sophisticated, very attractive room sets in our top 90 stores that really had a big business impact. So there are things that we can do with a sense of urgency and drive in the team now that we're beginning to see some benefits on. And that's much more the philosophy of, we think, how we'll work than shutting a store for a month or 2 months and then doing a big sort of big increase. We'll keep trading going as we go forward. We all recognise as a team that's a great opportunity for us, because if we give customers better experience, we know it pays back and we know they come back to us.
Good morning, Victoria Buxton at Edison. Could you talk a bit more about the opportunity you've highlighted in the toddler and preschool market, how you're going to penetrate that, what categories you think would best serve that opportunity, and a sort of rough timescale?
So thank you, Victoria. The toddler and baby category, when you break it down and segment it by the different categories, essentially you move out of home and travel when you get into the toddler preschool sector. And what becomes really important is clothing and toys. Right? That's the two areas. You know, what do we have? We have a fantastic early learning brand, you know, in early learning centre, that really can clearly target and do a better job of that. And some of the toy box products and some of the other products are reflective of trying to work on that. The other area is clothes. You know, still a large percentage of our clothes are for children under 1 year old, and we have an opportunity to improve that. And that is two things, is that many mums or dads in the room who've done this, when you are shopping with a couple of toddlers or a toddler, you don't really have the luxury of time to sit and dwell and do that. So we've got to make shopping in store easier. We've got to have one place that you go to. If you're after value, there it is, bang, pick it up, go. We've got to have design quality that's better than it has been before in the past, so it appeals and is bright and is colourful to the toddler age group. And that's all work that you'll begin to see. You know, there's a bit coming through in store now, but I think in spring, summer next year, you'll begin to see a lot of that coming through and also allied to our in-store theatre. And we've also been able to, you know, with the executive team now we have in the business, we're able to attract great talent. We've got new visual merchandising people with great credentials who are joining the teams that I think will help us in that storytelling with our customers as well.
Do you have a sense of what share of the market you have at the moment and where you could potentially get to?
Well, we've seen share increase by about just under half a percentage point in the last few months or so, and that would put us at sort of around about the 4 to 5% area. Right, it's that sort of level on clothing. If I think 0 to 5 clothing, clearly we'd have a greater share in the 0 to 1 and 0 to 2 clothing area. The good thing is, that means if we just get some of the basics right and if we just address this, then just stealing a bit of share from other people can actually represent a significant increase in our volume. We're not starting from a position where we have really high market share and really penetration. And that is a big market. And if you look at in the UK, we have £5 billion addressable market approximately for mother care. Then over 3 million of that would be clothing. So getting the clothing proposition right, and that's where Philippe and his team are really focused on, is a good part of the future. Thank you. Should we just take a couple more questions, conscious of time? Okay, well, we seem to have answered them all. Well, thank you for your time. I really appreciate you coming, and again, thank you for the questions. Just one last thing. We've had a relationship with Save the Children now for nearly 2 years, and we've raised almost £1.5 million for them. We have something outside. If you don't have a Christmas present for one of your friends or for one of your own children yet, we have a new toy box character in a bag, and we have a bucket alongside it, which is a donation for Save the Children that we're going to put to the Philippines disaster. So if I can encourage you all to take part in that as well, that would be very much appreciated. So thank you for your time today. Great.